Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We're going to read the first three verses together. Let's do this. I'll read verse 1, you join me, and we'll read aloud both verses 2 and 3 together. You'll get to read two verses in a row, all right? So I'll read verse 1, you join me on verses 2 and 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. Here we go. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Verse 3. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And let's pray. Father, sure do need you tonight. Lord, a lot of churches, a lot of preachers misteach and mispreach and get labeled wrongly because of this topic, but I believe it's one that we all need to hear and all one that we need to learn to practice. And Lord, I'm glad that this is preventive maintenance in our church. It's not breakdown maintenance. There's no problems. There's no issues with this. But Lord, I pray that you just help us to rightly divide the word of truth tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Tithing is one of the topics that most people agonize over. All right? People love the Christian life unless it affects their wallet. The old preacher, Dr. John Rice, used to say it this way. You know you got a man when you got his wallet, and you know you got a woman when you got her closet. If God's got your closet, God's got your heart, ladies. If God's got a man's wallet, God's got him. Yes. Where your money is, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Yes. Your heart follows your treasure, not your treasure following your heart. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You show me your checkbook, I'll show you what your life is. It's that simple. I know. These days people don't keep checkbooks, they do it all online. Can I tell you? I still keep a checkbook. I think it's wise. Now, there are some, and I'm going to use this word very carefully, there are some preachers, clergymen who have violated people by making money of the ministry. I'm against that. The church is not a money-making institution for any one person. Everybody understand that? I'm not one of these money-grabbing kind of guys. There are churches that... you'll laugh, and some of you think I'm lying, but I know churches in this country that when you join the church membership, you give them your bank account information, and they automatically withdraw your tithe and tell you how much they're taking out.
That's just wrong.
Wow. Let me say this. It'd be a cold day where the booger man lives before we do that. And nobody going to do that to me. I'm not doing that to somebody else.
That's right.
I know churches that take the offering, and they count it. And if they don't get enough, they pass the plates again. And if they don't get it, they pass the plates again. And by the way, I'm against that. I believe if everybody does their part, we don't have to keep on passing it.
Yes, sir.
Plain and simple. And I could go on and on. I'm not being critical. I'm just letting you know what's out there. When you join this church, I don't ask you for your banking account information. I might give you a packet of tithing envelopes. Amen, Brother Stoltz. Brother Stoltz complained that there was no tithing envelopes in his book, so we put a whole box beside his book. We'll keep you busy, amen. Yeah, buddy. Keep packing them tight, amen. You fill those up, I'll buy more to fill up, all right? I have people say that tithing was only an Old Testament thing and it's not required in the New Testament. I have people say that they haven't been convicted to tithe. Well, I hear people say that they can't afford to tithe. And I hear people say, well, because you're a preacher, you shouldn't teach on it. But if I don't teach on it, who's going to?
Yes, sir, that's right.
Well, you're a money-grabbing preacher. No, I'm not a money-grabbing preacher. I cut my salary $15,000 a year about 2 years ago to make sure we could build this building. If I got to cut it again, I'll cut it again. And then have my deacons or trustees tell me I had to do it. I did it. They didn't want me to do it, and I did it anyway. And I have people that are still upset with me for doing it, but I don't care. None of their business. Now, thank you, Miss Martha. I needed that. Now, I want to take a very biblical approach to what God says about tithing. Do me a favor. Before you turn me off, just listen. That's all I ask. I want you to find that there's a blessing that goes with tithing.
Yes, sir.
There isn't a tremendous... It's one of the very few commands God gives that he attaches a blessing with.
Yes.
Can I tell you something? This mess about, well, I don't feel convicted. You don't need a conviction when you got a command.
Amen. Yes, sir. That's right.
When Dad told me to take trash out when I was a kid, I didn't feel convicted about it, but there was a command. It didn't matter how convicted I felt.
Yes, sir.
If I didn't, I got convicted real fast. It's like soul winning. Well, it's not my call. I don't feel convicted about it. You don't have to feel convicted about it. God commanded it.
Yes, sir.
It's that simple.
Yes, sir.
Now, this is not about the church. It's not about me getting money. It is about getting the blessing of God on your life as a Christian.
Yes.
This is not about the church unable to pay our bills. We're doing fine. Now, we're not making a lot of money, but we're making ends meet. This isn't about we're about to go under financially, that we need more money for the building program. I am the world's worst at raising money. You all know that. I don't do it. I know preachers that twice a year they have what they call a give-it-all. And you're supposed to take your entire paycheck for a week and give it and live by faith for the rest. Brother Stoltz, the day I announce something like that, remind me, I'm fired. I hate that mess. You're not asking, when you do that, you're asking your creditors to live by faith.
Right.
You need to pay your bills.
Yes, amen.
Period. Now, I think we ought to be wise and not make so many bills that we can't give more. Ouch, that one hurt. All right, here we go. But I want every Christian to enjoy full obedience to God and see his full blessing financially. And by the way, I'm not this seed money. Give it and God will bless it and multiply it. No, I'm not talking about that mess. It's not this prosperity gospel junk out there. This isn't Joel Holstein and all his mess. Used to be Jim Baker. Sorry, I call him Jim Faker. Jim and Tammy Faker, or Baker there. This isn't, you know, a $500,000 gold-plated doghouse either. But I want you to see the blessing that goes with tithing. Now, let me start by saying this. And if you don't get anything, get this. The tithe is the Lord's.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
The tithe is the Lord's. It's not the churches. It's not the preachers. It's the Lord's.
Yes.
You're not tithing to the church, per se. You're not tithing to the preacher. You're tithing to the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Now, that's very important because where we're going with this, turn to Malachi chapter 3. If you go to the book of Matthew and turn back one page, you'll be at the right spot. Malachi chapter 3, I want to show you something. The tithe is the Lord's. Now, I want you to see how I get this statement. Verse number 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? Watch this, in tithes and offerings. everybody look at me for a second. You're going to think this is a ridiculous illustration. Asa, come on up here. I want you to hold up Brother Barnes for a second, and you're going to stick him up like you're going to steal his money, steal his wallet, all right? Just point your finger like a gun. You're not at school. You're okay. All right? Now, don't pull the trigger, please. All right? Wait a minute. Let me check this thing.
Okay, it's empty. just had to make sure, all right? We got to be safe in our illustrations here. Oh, Lord, I'm going to get in trouble by somebody for this one, I'm sure. Did you know if you rob him, you didn't rob Brother Larry? You robbed him. If you take his money, you're not taking it from him. You can put your gun down, you can put your hands down. Thank you, Asa.
We just saved a mass shooting, amen? How can you rob someone if it's not theirs to take? God says, wherein have you robbed me? In tithes and offerings. That means the tithe is the Lord's. Everybody see that? Okay, now, listen to me very carefully. This is not about me. It's not about the church. It's about you personally getting God's blessing on you personally. The Christian life in the walk with God, much of it is done alone.
Yes.
I said something this morning. I'm not against couples and families praying together, reading the Bible together. But you need to spend time one-on-one with God yourself.
That's very true.
I'm for teaching children to read the Bible and praying reading the Bible with them. But you ought to give them Bible and give them 15 minutes by themselves in a room with no TV, no computer, no phone, no nothing, and say, read your Bible for 15 minutes.
Yes.
People need to learn how to walk with God themselves.
Yes.
We want to walk with God with the news on. We want to walk with God with the radio on. We want to walk with God doing this or doing it with that. No, when you walk with God, you walk with God. I am a busy person. And when my kids were growing up, I was really busy. I remember one of my kids, I forget which one day I was doing something, talking to them, and they grabbed me by the face and said, Daddy, no, talk to me. Oh, okay, I wasn't giving you the attention I was supposed to give you. Slow down, here we go. Now, much of the Christian life is done by yourself. Bible reading, prayer, meditation, etc. Church and soul winning and those types of things are the only thing that you do that you're not necessarily by yourself in the Christian life. Let me hurry along with this. Tithing is one of the most multifaceted truths God has. So what's multifaceted? You ladies with a wedding ring, a diamond. It's got all kinds of little cuts on it. It's, they call them points. If you have a 50-point diamond, that's a half-carat diamond, and it's got 50 sides to it. And that's how they're rated. And how the light hits each and every one of those changes how the rainbowing and the prisming effect affects the light as it passes through. And God said that tithing is very multifaceted, just like the cutting of a diamond. It's individual, but it also can affect your family, your business, and your church. It is your individual responsibility, but it'll affect your whole family. It'll affect your business. It'll affect your church. So it's multifaceted in every layer that it has. Tithing is not an Old Testament law thing.
Right.
And I'm going to go to my grave saying this. There's no such thing as Old Testament law, New Testament grace. That's a bunch of hogwash by a bunch of Calvinists and false doctrine. By faith, Adam. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Abel. Guess what? All of those were before the law. By faith, Moses. Uh-oh. That's after the law. That was, quote-unquote, the law. There's no such thing as Old Testament law, New Testament grace. Old Testament looked ahead to Calvary. New Testament, we look back Calvary.
Yes, sir.
But everybody gets to heaven by grace through faith.
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
Sir.
That's the only difference.
Yes, sir.
That is, that means Genesis 1:1 is as applicable today as it was in the day of Noah.
Yes, amen.
That means Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1 is as applicable as it was in the day of Adam. Everybody doing okay? All right. Now, here we go. Did you know that there was tithing before there was, quote unquote, the law? So it can't be an Old Testament law issue. Look at Malachi chapter 3 again. Keep your finger there. You're going to go back and forth there. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 6. And I got to hurry here because I've got a lot of teaching. And I'm going to rattle a bunch of verses to you. You can get down later or listen to the thing online. Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed." Everybody look at me.
Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever." Did you know God doesn't change?
Right.
And if God doesn't change his command, guess what? It's still as good now as it was the day he gave it.
Amen.
It's that simple. That's why I preached this morning like a wild man. We're not changing. I'm not giving up. I'm not going the way of modernism. I'm not going contemporary.
Thank you.
That's good.
Say why? God didn't command it. He commanded us to do what we're doing.
Yes, sir.
And tithing is not just an Old Testament thing. And I'll show you this in just a moment here. But God said, "I am the Lord, I change not." If God wanted tithes before there was a law, during the law, and we found in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 1, talks about the collection of the saints, that's tithing, upon the first day of the week, guess what? He still wants it today.
Yes.
It's that simple.
Preach.
Now, let me help you. We have 2 hours of material to do in 20 minutes. Are you ready? Number one, what is a tithe? The word tithe means tenth. 10%. It actually literally means first tenth. Do you know how to fix America's economy? Real simple. Everybody pays the same amount of tax. You put it on a percentage basis. If everybody would pay 10% tax, America's economy would be fine. It doesn't matter if you make $10, doesn't make it matter if you make $1,000, doesn't matter if you make $100,000 or $100 billion. Everybody pay 10%, no deductions, no nothing. Everybody just pay it.
Amen.
We could solve every problem we have economically in America.
Well, there are people that make more. They should pay more taxes. They do pay more taxes because they make more money. Under FDR in the 1930s, everybody listen to me, if you made $1 million a year, you were thrown into the 90% tax bracket.
Yep.
That means you gave the government $900,000 and you kept $100,000.
Wow.
Mr. Obama, before he was elected, said, "FDR is my hero," because FDR was a communist. Put the Communist Manifesto up against the New Deal someday. Find out how close they are.
That's right.
It got shot down by the Supreme Court 4 times. FDR was so mad, he tried to get Congress to pass it to where he could put more Supreme Court justices on so that he could get it passed. Had two of them not died, it would have never gone through. Everybody doing okay? Flat tax will fix everything. That means poor people pay it, mid-range people pay it, rich people pay it. We could get rid of the IRS and put people to work doing an honest living.
Yay!
Preach it.
That's good.
You could get rid of state tax. You could get rid of everything. If everybody paid one flat tax. Now, tithe means first tenth. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 7. And I've got to hurry. We're only going to turn to a couple of these. I have many more. I'll list them for you. But Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 2, the Bible says, "To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First, by being the interpretation king of righteousness, after that also the king of Salem, which is the king of peace." Look down at verse 4. "Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils." That means tithe. Tenth means one tenth, or means tithe, or one-tenth, or one-tenth equals 10%. Okay? Now, Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 2, verses 10, verses 12, talk about Moses and the giving of the tithes to the tabernacle and the tithe of the new land in Canaan. Tithe is a quantity, not a quality. An offering is a quality of something. A tithe is a quantity of something. Everybody understand that? Tithe is an amount. Offering is a quality of something. You give the best of what you got. When you gave an offering, you had to make sure if you were giving a lamb as an offering, it had to be the best one. It couldn't have bad teeth. It couldn't have blind eye. Couldn't have scars on it. Couldn't have teeth missing. It had to be perfect. It had to be blemishless. That's an offering. That wasn't a tithe. Tithe, you took, you counted your herds and say, okay, first one over here, next nine go through. Number 11, you come over here. Didn't matter if it had three legs. Didn't matter if it had no teeth left. You just took them as they came. Here's the first tenth. Here's the next tenth. And you just grabbed it as it came through. That's how it worked. Now, like all of the Christian life, God doesn't force you to obey, but he expects you to obey.
Yeah. God doesn't force you to do anything. It sure would be easier if God came down and took it out of your bank account, wouldn't it? No lie. My wife knows who this is. She may or may not remember. I would never tell you who it was in a million years. And I don't think it's wrong or sinful, but there's no way I'm going to do it. But I know a pastor that said he came up with a real novel idea. As he hired his staff, he told them, you don't have to worry about tithing. I'll take it out of your paycheck every week and put it back into the church. I wouldn't do that. I want to hire somebody. They need the blessing of giving it themselves, not being forced to give it.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Everybody doing okay? Now, I don't think it's wrong, but I'm not doing it. I'm not messing with somebody's money that way. It's all you're doing is paying them 10% less. That's what it amounts to.
Yes, sir.
Man, that's fun. That's good stuff, preacher. That means this. We should tithe on the gross of all our increase. We read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Just because Uncle Sam took his fingers out of it first doesn't mean that you shouldn't tithe on it. You earned it. Those of you young people starting to get jobs, you find out what taxes are all about. You start earning money and they start taking it out. FICA, and you got Social Security tax, you got state tax, and you got this tax, and then you got to pay taxes on taxes. And the more you make, the more they take.
Yep.
That's not fair. Well, welcome to big boy and big girl life. Nobody said it was fair. But did you know, even though you didn't touch that money, you still made it, therefore you're still accountable to God for giving a tithe on it.
Yep.
That means, and you can do as you wish, I believe in tithing on your income tax check if you get one back every year. That's prospered. I didn't have it before. So, well, I paid taxes on it. No, you didn't have that money. You made it, but you didn't have it. Now, you can go without doing it, but I'm playing it safe. Profit on sales. I'm looking forward to selling my house. Can I tell you something? My wife and I are going to tithe on the equity in our house. I believe that's the right thing to do. If you sell something and make profit on it, I believe you ought to tithe on it. Better preach down this way tonight, man. life insurances and inheritances. I sat down across the table of a 45-year-old widow. Her husband passed away. Not in our church. And I said, you're going to get a big lump sum. She said, preacher, I want to tithe on it. I said, good, because I was going to tell you you need to. And she did. And she did need to. By the way, God blessed her for it already. And God's helping her. You say, well, that's all she had the rest of her life from her husband. Maybe, but you obey God. It'll all work out.
Yes.
Everybody doing okay?
Yes,
you laugh at me. I tithe on my garden and my hunting. How many times have you seen me bring bags full of stuff and say, take it, y'all? I'm trying to tithe on the increase of my garden. If I shoot a couple deer, I'll tithe on a little bit. Man, Brother Larry gave me some of the stuff that he canned. My wife and I had that thing about a week or two ago. Whew. That's some good stuff. Now, wait a minute. I think you ought to, if you give your children allowances, you ought to teach them how to tithe on it. Say why? If they'll do it when they have little amounts, when they get the bigger amounts, it's not quite as hard.
Right.
And I believe God will bless it no matter what the amount is. I happen to remember in the Bible, a lady that gave 2 mites, right, half a penny. We're still talking about her. So where do we tithe? Well, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered. Let me ask you, what day of the week does the church meet?
First day of the week, Sunday.
Wonder where you're supposed to give your tithe. Let it be laid up in store. Turn to Malachi chapter 3 again. We'll go back there. Malachi chapter 3. Bible says in verse number 10, bring ye all the tithes into the, what's the next word?
Storehouse.
That there may be meat in mine house. That's God's house. And prove me herewith. Now watch this. God says we're supposed to bring the tithe to his house. Because it's his, not ours. This is God's house, not my house. You've heard me say, well, preacher, what color are you painting everything? I don't like that color. It's not your house, it's God's house. I've already got colors picked out for most everything. Been working on it. I already know which route I'm going. So, well, I wouldn't have picked that, but this isn't your living room. It's God's house. I happen to know a little bit more about God's house than you do. I know what works better than most people. And if you just trust me on it, by the way, I'm not picking out the shades. That's why I have ladies to help me with that stuff. Good night. We might have yellow and teal and all kinds of crazy things if don't do it the right way. Now, wait a minute. The storehouse. What's that, Larry?
Camouflage.
As long as it's not pink camouflage, I can go for that. Hoorah! Hunter orange, amen? Now, wait a minute. According to Hebrews chapter 7, verses 5 and 9, we were there earlier, Abraham brought it to the Levites at the tabernacle. Or Abraham didn't, Moses did. Abraham brought it, though, to God's house. In Deuteronomy chapter 26, they brought it to the tabernacle, God's house. Now, the tithe is for God and his work, which is now the church. Everybody listen to this statement. I love missionaries. I believe in missions work, but don't give your tithe to missions.
Right.
Tithe is an offering, or missions is an offering. It's not your tithe. Everybody doing okay? I know missionaries that'll say, oh, just send me your tithe. Don't do that. I believe adult Sunday school class. I think, Brother Mike, we take an offering for your Sunday school class. Don't tithe to your Sunday school class. Tithe to the church. If you have an offering for Sunday school, give it as an offering. We're not to tithe to quote-unquote Christian charities. Everybody doing okay? I'm talking Gideon's, Awana, Youth for Christ. Most of those are liberal, non-denominational whack jobs now. Go ahead and label me nuts, but don't tithe to the building program.
Right.
If you have an offering to give for it, you give it. But you're not tithing for the building program. Everybody doing okay? Don't curse our building by giving your tithe to it. You don't hear many preachers say that, do you? You see, we ought to be careful not to give our tithe to religious organizations. I love Brother Coral and Revival Fires. We support him as a missionary, but don't give your tithe to Dennis Coral and Revival Fires.
Right.
Bless God, amen. And I love Brother Coral. I love Commonwealth Baptist College. Someday we may be able to help them because it's a they live on a shoestring. But can I tell you something? Don't tithe to them.
Right.
I'm for the rescue missions. But don't tithe to the rescue mission. It's not the church. And I'm going to go on. I have more that I shouldn't get into right now. Number three, the blessing of tithing. Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. God says, there's a couple promises that go with tithing. When you tithe, God says, he'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Now, I don't know about you, but I want the blessing of God on us.
Yes, amen.
I want the blessing of God on my wife and I. I know people that figure their tithe out to the very penny, and I'm for that. Not me. I round up. It's real easy. Did you know you can't outgive God?
That's right. Yes, sir.
You really can't.
Amen.
God says he'll pour you out a blessing, and there won't be room enough to receive it. You may not get it all at one time, and you may not get it the week you gave it, but you're going to get it. Verse 11 says, he'll rebuke the devourer. I love this statement. Did you know, Scott, when you tithe, that God says, I'm going to rebuke that which would cause your finances to wither away unnecessarily? Instead of your car breaking down, he's going to keep it going.
Amen.
Or he's going to help you change the spark plugs that are 100 and some thousand miles overdue. He's going to keep that dishwasher running longer than it's supposed to. He's going to keep it from breaking down. Matter of fact, it says he's going to keep your business and your finances from being withered away, getting a good deal. He's going to help you find a good deal. Now, may I say this? We ought to be looking for good deals.
Yes.
Too many people waste their money.
Yes.
You're too lazy to get off your couch to go out there and work and save yourself some money.
Preach it.
Man, I've saved thousands of dollars. I saved $13,000 on the purchase of my new home because of the way I did it. My wife and I saved probably $4,000 on a dining room set. I paid 25% of what I would have paid for a dining room set, brand new hardwood cherry. And I mean brand new. Got it on clearance, amen? My favorite friend, Clarence. I mean clearance. Well, you didn't pay this much for it, so it must not be very good. No, I got as high quality as anybody else did. I know what the price tag was for it. But I wasn't going to pay that for it. I waited. God didn't rebuke. God rebuked the devourer, and I got a better deal.
Yes.
We waste so much. We think because we paid so much for something that we really got something. Devil's got you fooled, dude. Or dudette. Good night. I love it. My wife comes home and says, honey, I saved this much money. Great. How much did you spend? And she does well. Trust me. That means you're going to pay less out. He'll help you not use as much as others would use.
Yes.
It's called being frugal. I learned a long time ago, take care of what you got.
Yes.
The longer you take care of it, less times you have to buy it. I know people that buy high quality stuff and keep it for 3 years and let it sit out in the rain and rust, and they got to buy it again 3 years later. I've got six of those. Yeah, five of them don't run. What good was it? And by the way, according to verse number 12, the Bible says, "And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." That means God is going to see you, let people see your prosperity. I'm not talking about you being rich, but God's going to supernatural. People don't understand how we function. I have a banker that's scratching his head and getting splinters in his fingernails. He has no concept how this thing works. But we got our loan.
Amen.
We didn't have all we needed, but we got our loan. God provided. I told him one day, I said, "Jeff, I'm going to pray." He said, "What are you praying for?" I said, "I don't know. I'm going to pray for God to meet the need of whatever I need to get this thing through." Shazam. Came a $100,000 check into our checking account. I watched a Methodist banker cry. Say, "I ain't never seen nothing like this." Huh. Say, what is that? The blessing of God. I've watched children give. Watch God bless them. I've watched teenagers give. Watch God bless them. I've watched young couples give and God bless them. Can I tell you something? It's not me blessing them, it's God. Number four, I gotta hurry. And I'm only gonna quickly run through the next 3 points because it's 3 minutes till. Abraham tithed before there ever was the Mosaic Law. Turn to Hebrews chapter 7. I want to show you something here, and we're going to use our Bibles just for real quick here. I'm going to show you one thing here. Hebrews chapter 7, look at verse number 1. "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness." Abraham tithed to the high priest, or to the man, Melchizedek. That was almost 1,000 years before Moses. So much for Old Testament law.
Right.
This is about 1,000 years before Moses in the tabernacle. And by the way, the Ten Commandments is not the law. That's civil law. That wasn't the moral law or the Levitical law. There's three different laws. You have civil law, Ten Commandments. That had nothing to do with going to heaven. It had man getting along with man in Canaan land. That was the constitution, so to speak. Then you had the moral laws and the sanitary laws. That's where you're supposed to pile up the refuse and how to take care of it and how to be clean physically and with each other, and especially living in close quarters and different things. Then you had the Levitical law that dealt with the priests and things. None of those had anything to do with going to heaven.
Right.
That's why when Jesus was crucified, he did away with the temple. The church was started. That's why everybody in the temple was ticked off. Can I tell you why? Not only was Jesus doing away with temple worship, but the tithe was going to the church and not to the temple. They were losing money. Abraham tithed before there ever was the Mosaic Law. Number next, Moses and the Jews gave tithes at the tabernacle. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 2, verses 10, verses 12. They went to the tabernacle and gave the tithe of the new land in Canaan. That was their increase. Remember, they took Jericho first, and he said, that's a cursed city, and all of that is for me and for mine house. Don't you take it. Achan took of it and cursed the whole nation.
Sorry.
That was the tithe, the first city of Canaan. Number next. Tithes were given at the temple. Let's turn to one of these real quick. Turn to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Very quickly, I'll show you something. The Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23. Look at verse number 23. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. That was the temple. They were paying tithes at the temple. Everybody doing okay? That was during the time of Jesus. I can't wait till Easter. I have a sermon I'm working on. I'm about ready to come unscrewed. I think I'm going to preach it the week before Easter. What do they call the week before? Is it called Palm Sunday? Is that what they all call it? Okay. I'm going to preach a Palm Sunday sermon this year. Yeah. Aren't you proud of me? I'm not wearing a dress while I do it either.
That's good.
Do you know what Jesus did on Palm Sunday? No. After he rode his donkey, he got off at the temple, got out, made a whip, and cast out the money changers and kicked the tables over.
Yeah.
He didn't wiggle when he walked on that one.
Amen.
I'm going to preach the Palm Sunday you didn't hear about. Man, Luke chapter 18, verse 12, Luke 11, verse 42, all talk about the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees giving their tithes and things at the temple. Number next, and I'm done. Now, the tithe is supposed to go to the church. Upon the first day of the week, at the storehouse. Let me say this. That's why monthly, we give out a report of all the finances here. Once a month, after the board has met, we get all that stuff approved. We put it out, and any adult that wants a copy of it, they can get it. You can look at it, see every check that was written, who it was written to, what date it was written, and how much each one was. Every month. You'll find out what my paycheck is. Every month. Everybody doing okay? I'm not afraid of it. How many CEOs publish their their weekly paychecks? It's not out there. I'm not afraid of it because it's God's money, not mine. I wish you knew, and I don't mean this arrogantly, but just so you know, I think my paycheck is $1,042.15 right now because of the new tax. I made about $16, $17 a week more. Thank you, Mr. Trump. That means I make roughly $50,000 a year, just shy of that. Now, let me say something very quickly here. If you knew what my tithe was, you'd be shocked. I can't remember the last time my wife and I gave less than 20%. And to cut my salary, $15,000. We haven't changed what we're given. Say, why? Because I believe in tithing. And we're doing quite well. We're doing okay. Thank God I only got one more year of a kid in Bible college. Wait a minute. We're supposed to give it on the first day of the week. That means, and by the way, that doesn't mean you have to tithe every week. But you ought to tithe as you get paid. Some people get paid once a month. Okay, tithe on it once a month. Maybe you get paid twice a month. Tithe on it twice a month. If you get paid every week, tithe on it every week. But as long as you're giving it as you're supposed to give it, that's what matters. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
According to Malachi chapter 3, verse number 8, if you don't tithe, there's a curse. God says, will you rob me? He said, you're cursed with a curse. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be cursed by God. Amen. I've seen what happens to people that do, and I don't like what happens.
Yes,
now, remember, if you don't tithe, God's not going to make you. But he's going to get it one way. You're going to pay it one way or the other. You might pay it to the doctor. You might pay it to the mechanic. You might pay it to the appliance store. You might pay it somewhere. But you're going to pay it. But you're not paying your tithe to the church. You're not paying the preacher. You're not. It's not the work. It's not to a Christian organization. Your tithe is God's.
That's right.
Let God have what's his. It's that simple. May I say this? Isn't stealing criminal? Yeah, I can put up with a lot, but I have a hard time putting up with a liar and a thief. Don't lie to me and don't rob. I can put up with an awful lot. One quick story and I'm done. About 4 years ago, we had a church van sitting out in front of the church. Some guy on a Saturday night busted into it, stole it, took it on a joyride, had three different police departments chasing him. He robbed 10 other people while he had our van, filled it full of stolen goods, and on his third set of police officers in the state of Virginia, crashed it into a tree. This thing, they finally caught, say, how did they catch him? Fortunately, thieves aren't real smart. He left his wallet in the van with his driver's license. I went to court three different times over that thing. One time the guy says, the lawyer says, well, he was in the, he said, you have no proof he was in the van. He said, well, he said, Judge, his driver's license was, well, that only proves his driver's license was there. It doesn't prove he was. And the judge says, denied. And the prosecuting attorney for Berkeley County and Jefferson County and one of the other counties in Virginia, all three of them asked me, do we want to press charges? I said, I want him prosecuted. I don't want him put away forever. I said, but if I said, justice needs served. I said, if we let him off scot-free, who else is he going to go rob? I said, but he doesn't need it jail longer than he would because it was not a church. I said, whatever the law says is what he should get. That fellow spent about a year and a half and almost 2 years in jail for that. He tried twice to get out. And the judge said, mm-mm. I wasn't mad. I believe in justice.
Yes, sir.
Berkeley County Assistant Prosecutor told me one day, he said, Pastor, I am so glad to hear you're not going to let this guy go. He's been let go so many times already. I said, that's not fair. I said, it's not fair to the people he robbed. It's not fair to my church people. It's not fair to the bus kids that we were supposed to pick up that day and we couldn't get them picked up because we didn't have the van. We were driving our cars to go get people. I said, it wasn't fair to an awful lot of people. I said, he ought to pay for what. I said, but I don't think it's a life sentence either. That's called justice. I'll be honest with you. I wasn't real happy when I found out we got robbed. I was a little mad. Say why? Because that just irritates me. Don't take something that's not yours. I don't care if it's a piece of candy. I don't care if it's a pen at work. Just don't take it. Don't steal it. Will a man rob God? Why would we rob God? I don't know about you. I don't want to rob God, do you? I'd rather hold up somebody else. I don't want to do that even, but I'm definitely not going to rob God. We ought not rob God with our tithes. There's a blessing attached to it. How about we do this? How about we obey God and then look for the blessings?
Amen.
Watch how good God is. Every head bowed, every eye closed.